This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is David Cone. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
Thank you, Tony, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, January 19th, the year 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that's your responsibility. Hope everybody's doing well. Kind of a nice day out.
Oh, sure it is.
Yeah, Don's at Madison Square Garden, which means he's calling a Ranger game tonight, which means that we have prime Don. Don's in his best mood when he's calling a Ranger game.
But I don't want anyone to fear. Don't worry. The game doesn't start till 7:30, so we're on the air till 7. Lest you worry that over the last few weeks any games would start at 7 o'clock. Nope, not at all. Don't worry. You're
Friday.
Fine.
Friday.
But
Friday, unfortunately, Friday is one of those early shows. You know, I hate getting off early on a Friday in particular.
Right.
So
I know.
But I think we lose yes at 6:30 today, though.
Oh, then I'll be nude from 6:30 to 7. Everyone gets excited for a nude Rosenberg cast.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And for Phil Mushnick today, I'm pulling out a pot of gravy and
really?
Just drenching myself in it later in the program.
Well, why don't you just pour some gravy on that sweatshirt they have now? I mean, don't just relegate the gravy to wrestling T-shirts. Put it on my sweatshirt.
I love this beautiful sweatshirt, though. I don't know if I want to add the gravy.
Finally, when was the last time, honestly, outside of Thanksgiving, have you had gravy?
You know what? It's such a great point, Don. The only time in the year in which I buy gravy is on the week before Thanksgiving. Natalie went to the grocery store. Can you get some gravy? That's it. The rest of the
year.
And by the way, I love gravy.
Just not on your shirts.
Not on my wrestling T-shirt. You know, I protect those shirts.
I know. You said they're worth a lot.
They are. They're very valuable, the vintage market these days.
Yeah.
But you know what? I digress.
I feel invigorated today. I went to the barber. Junior made it high and tight. I've got just a new feel about everything.
I got a new cut. I got a cut too.
I almost did it, Peter. But both of us did it. Just a little, nod, a little wink, wink to Don. That these things do exist. You can go to a hairstylist or a barber and get it done.
Oh, I'm aware. I am aware that they exist.
Yeah.
But then I take a glimpse at myself with this hair down the shoulder, and I say, "How could I do that?
I told you.
How could I do that to the world?
I told you, Don sees himself in the
same way we do.
In the same way Megan Thee Stallion sees herself. Megan Thee Stallion.
Right. It has to be the.
Right. Every day she stops by every mirror just to look at her own posterior. That's right. Don. He stops at every mirror and goes, "Look at these gorgeous locks."
Don doesn't realize that I have set up for today for the owner of the Garden, the Knicks, and the Rangers, Jim Dolan, to just come up to the booth and go, "This has to go." And let's see what Don does.
I told you.
He has not listened to his wife. Let's see if he listens to the Nick and the Ranger owner.
I told you what I would do.
You'd cut your hair.
With a pocket knife.
So you have no conviction. You're not exactly Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, Kyrie, you're not. Okay? Now.
No conviction. That makes it, Peter, to me, that makes it more sickening. It really does.
And by the way, I'm curious.
If you believe in that hair and everything that it represents, just say, "No, Jim, I'm keeping it."
My barber, a new guy I've been seeing recently, came by yesterday, cut my hair at my place because I wasn't able to go out. I got the dogs here and whatnot. And I like torture. I want to say his name just because I'm so sure Michael will insult his name.
Yeah. Okay, what's his name?
For sure.
And he's a great guy, by the way, and he gave me a great cut. As you can see, my beard lineup is beautiful. He did a great job.
Get these cuts out of the way because
I won't be cutting hair. His name is Elvin.
I'm fine with Elvin.
You're good with Elvin?
Yeah, I mean, that was the Cosby kid married a guy named Elvin.
that's exactly right. Sondra did. Yeah. Now, hold on real quick. We didn't talk about this because, again, you just made up that I had a bet punishment and no one else did. My hair is all I have to grow out. I can still line up my beard.
Yes, of course. Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so I can do whatever
we're looking for the Gallagher look. That's all we want.
So whatever I want
Gallagher,
to do.
Gallagher, Larry Fine.
Who's Larry Fine? Hold on.
One of the three Stooges.
He was one of the three Stooges.
Oh, that's Larry.
Yeah.
He's the Larry.
Yeah. Yeah, what I say.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah.
No, I can't look like Larry.
You got to. Or, you know what? Here's your other option. Pick better. You can still get out of last place.
He still can.
By the way, I'll tell you my picks right now. I already know my picks, and I love them.
And you got to know one thing. Don wants to lose. We've told you that.
I know.
It's right there for you.
No. It's a great point by you. He does want out.
All right, so let's start with a game that took place in the building where Don is right now, the Knicks and the Timberwolves. And the Knicks made a spirited comeback. They had a great third quarter where they outscored the Timberwolves, I believe, 40-25. Timberwolves led by 10 at halftime. The Knicks had 13 turnovers early. And then they turned the ball over late. And there's a couple of things that just strike me about the Knicks. I've never seen, and I watch a lot of basketball. I really do.
You love the game.
I love basketball. I've never seen a team that whines on every single call. Every call. Now, after a while, the word's going to get around the league. They're not going to give you any of the benefit of the doubt. You whine on every call. It got to the point where Walt Frazier and Mike Breen said, how could you argue that call? It's so clear that it's a foul. They are Taj Gibson, every call against him, he has this look of incredulity on his face. Everything against Julius Randle, he doesn't agree with. Every call now, you could say that that's the NBA. No, it's not. The Timberwolves didn't do it. I don't see other teams do it constantly. I understand the big stars do it. LeBron does it. But you kind of earn that right to give your take to the official. But the Knicks do it all the time. They're whiny babies. That's number one. Number two, boy, you really see the value of a high-end point guard in this league. Now, Kemba played very well in the fourth quarter, and they played better when Kemba was in there handling the basketball. But they turned the ball over too much, and here's one thing that has to stop. It must stop. You can't let Julius Randle handle the basketball at the top of the key and dribble and dribble and dribble. He constantly gets the ball punched away. He's always mishandling the ball. He's not a point guard. He's not LeBron James. There are point guards, and then there are big men that can handle the basketball. Julius is neither of them.
It's a great point. And Michael, it's been such a part of his game since he's been here. Like, and he's been good in spite of that. But I just... Can you change?
But you, like, here, if you can't change, Peter, then Thibodeau has to tell him, I don't want you with the ball up top. Now, I know he takes a lot of his shots there, but get the ball to him by other means. Don't let him create shots by dribbling. He's going to get the ball stripped. He's too tall. He does not protect the ball. He's sloppy with it. He mishandles it all the time. That's a huge problem for the Knicks. Again, 13 turnovers in the first half is unacceptable. And then you see in the third quarter, they didn't turn the ball over once, and they outscored Minnesota by 40-25. You can't have Julius Randle handling the basketball. And then they got sloppy with the basketball at the end of the game. Three straight turnovers down the stretch. Three straight until their last shot that they missed. Very sloppy. These are games that the Knicks have to win. I'm not saying the Timberwolves are bad. Timberwolves are athletic. They're good. They're good with the ball. They've got really athletic players. They really do. So it should be a test. But I got to tell you this: you got to beat that team at the Garden. You got to beat Charlotte at the Garden. The Knicks are now two games into a four-game home stretch where they should win every single one. They've lost the first two. Now I'm not saying that the Knicks should be the number four seed this year like they were last year. That's not happening. But you got to play better than this. You got to have a better idea than this.
We're 45 games into the season, Michael. We're beyond the halfway point. There's enough of a sample to say, is this what this team is? A very average team that might get into the play-in. Might. Because Boston's kind of figured it out. They're now in the play-in. Cleveland continues to look like they're for real, Michael. They've won five
really
in a row. You're waiting for the Cavs to kind of fall apart because you got to replace somebody. If you're going to move up, you got to replace somebody. So of the six teams, it was easy to say, well, Cleveland will fall off and we'll jump ahead and we'll be where Cleveland is. Well, maybe not. If not, then you're settling for the play-in. And I don't think anybody wanted that at the beginning of the season. But we're 45 games in, guys. And it is what it is. You're 22 and 23. What's happening? Who's coming back from injury? What turning point is going to bring it all together? Remember last year it was because, you know, Randle started playing like a superstar and they kind of gelled at around this time. But what's coming? Rose coming back from injury?
And you know what really kills you is that it's not like – Michael just said it. The Timberwolves are not a pushover. They're not. They're the same level team the Knicks
are. And the Hornets, the same thing.
And the same with the Hornets. The Hornets, what are they, the exact same? No, they're even better, 24-20. But at the same time, the Knicks were on the precipice there of doing something really cool. After beating Spurs, Mavs, and the Hawks, you put something together, and then you just drop two. They just can't seem to ever really get this thing going to give them that same momentum that they managed to build in the second half last year.
That's what average teams do, Peter.
That's true.
They give and they take, and at the end of the day, it ends up being, you know, even Steven. Like from Seinfeld, you know, you lose 20, you find 20. You know, you beat a team you're not supposed to, and then you lose to a couple of teams that you should beat. And after 45 games, isn't that enough of a sample to say that's what they are?
But they don't have to be like this, is what I'm saying. There are things that you could tighten up. I don't think they're a great team by any stretch, because when your best player is Julius Randle, you're not a great team. And I don't want it to seem like we're jumping on Julius Randle, but everybody expected Julius Randle to be the number one guy that they're going to build around. No, that's the wrong thing to do. He's not that player. You can see he's not that player. And as much as I like all the progression that R.J. Barrett has made, R.J. Barrett's not a number one player. You hope that R.J. Barrett gets to be a number two player. He's not even there yet because of his inconsistency. He shows you flashes. But the Knicks still need to get that number one piece to put them into a category of finishing in the top four spots in the East. They don't have that.
But in order to get that, Michael, they've got to start winning consistently. And to follow up last year's fourth seed going to the playoffs with a non-playoff or a one-and-done situation in the play-in, then you begin to wonder, is this the destination? You've got to be able to build something for people to want to come and play here. Falling off the map, Michael, is going to ruin everything that was accomplished last year. You don't want to see that.
And what they're doing now, as Peter said, they were about to go on a roll. They'd won five straight games at the Garden, and then, boom, they lose these two. And then you have two more that are eminently winnable. But after that, you go on what I think could be a season-defining West Coast swing. And you're going to have Julius Randle dribbling at the top of the key and having it punched away constantly. And again, I was locked into that game from the opening tip on, watched every single second. And I'm just startled by how much the Knicks complain. They complain as if they're an elite team. And then Tom Thibodeau, after the game, he doesn't help matters. He said, you know, we put ourselves in a position where bad calls affect, could lose us the game. They weren't that bad of calls. There weren't that many bad calls. I mean, these officials are not foolproof. They're going to make bad calls. They make bad calls for the other team, too. But here's another thing, everybody, that the Knicks have to improve on. They've lost the last two games because they can't shoot free throws.
I mean, that kills you.
Oh, it's awful.
So you want all these foul calls, what, to miss shots? Julius Randle missed a shot at the end of the game, a free throw at the end of the game. It would have tied the game. It would have completely changed the complexion of the game. And then they missed 10 free throws the previous game against Charlotte. You want these calls for what? So you can look worse on the free throw line? Stop complaining. The complaining team does not get the benefit of the doubt. Watch a Knick game, everybody. Watch them when I think they play again tomorrow. Watch them. They never stop moaning. Never. Same thing with Thibs. Never stops. Every single, he looks like he's eating a lemon. Every single call, he has that look. Julius Randle has that look. Taj Gibson, both their big men fouled out. Mitchell Robinson fouled out, was complaining. The last two fouls were blatant, and he was complaining on both of them. To the point, again, Walt Frazier said, what are you complaining about? You can't put yourself in that position. So if you're complaining about calls that are clearly correct, if it's a 50-50 call, what official in the NBA is going to give it to you? If it's a 50-50 call when you're complaining about blatant, correct calls, you're not that good.
And also, by complaining about the officials, you're passing the buck. So what, you think you're owed this? That you didn't make the mistake? That it's always we went through it with the Cowboy game. Like, all the Cowboys, the officials. Well, how about blaming your coach? How about blaming your quarterback? You're passing the buck when you're complaining about the officiating. instead of taking care of your own business.
I remember, I've told this story before, when I covered college basketball, and I did a full season covering the then New Jersey Nets. Mm-hmm. And when I was writing, I would always write stories like about officials' calls. And my sports editor called me in and said, you can write a story on an official's call every single day. But that's not what loses games. That's the last thing you might see. But you can't make it your focus constantly. So that's to a writer. The Knicks can't make the officials their focus. Play through it. And again, do things that you can control. Hit a free throw. Take the ball away from Julius Randle from dribbling at the top of the key. Yes, just showed on the simulcast right now, all the times he was stripped, he's stripped constantly. He's not a great ball handler. It's so frustrating because I'm telling you, are they a great team? No, they're not a great team. Are they better than 22 and 23? Damn right they are. They're better than this record, and they're not playing that well. So this is on them. Now, I know the rest of the East has improved. I get it. I get it. I see it. But the Knicks are not 22 and 23 talent-wise. They're better than that. They should not be on the outside looking in of a play-in. In fact, they shouldn't even be in a play-in. But while other teams got better by signing DeMar DeRozan, what'd you do? You signed Evan Fournier, who had a great third quarter, by the way. And you signed Kemba Walker, who had a great fourth quarter. But they have not been consistent at all, and Kemba has not been able to stay on the court. And then he was benched for a long time, too, for some reason. That still makes no sense.
He's incapable of playing in the NBA for a while.
Yeah, and now, yesterday, he was one of the best players on the court.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Huh. I get fired up about them because they can be better. They have a distinct home court advantage with their crowd. But the sad thing is that everybody who comes into Madison Square Garden, they up their game. Karl Anthony Towns, beautiful traditional three-point play. Randle couldn't guard him. They didn't have any bigs left. Taj Gibson had fouled out. Mitchell Robinson fouled out. So it left it to Randle, who was overwhelmed, and I don't blame him. Karl Anthony Towns is 7 foot. I think Randle's 6'9", 6'10". Couldn't guard him. And watch that, too. Watch that play where he clearly fouled him. Randle turned to the official and said, he hooked me. Look, if you go on the internet and watch that play, he turns right away to the official and said, Karl Anthony Towns moved his hand to get me away, which everybody does anyway, but that was his big complaint. Not the fact that he clearly fouled him. And then Karl Anthony Towns clearly hit that last free throw that made it 2 points and the Knicks couldn't get it done. And then because players come into the Garden and want to have great games because they're in New York. They love New York. They love the Garden. They love that floor. They pick their game up. And you know what Karl Anthony Towns said at the end of his press availability? You know what he said? Bing, bong, that. The Knicks got too big for their own britches. They really did.
Well, listen, I mean, they didn't make up the whole bing, bong excitement around them.
Those kids did, but then they play it at the Garden.
Yeah,
on big plays. So the Knicks ran with it.
They did. But it just shows you just how hungry this fan base is.
Yeah.
Like they're so unique, Peter, to any other sports franchise in any of the four majors. Because when you look at them and the history and the place that they play in, you would think that they're the Lakers, right? Because everybody comes, you know, steps up to play at Madison Square Garden, and how excited the fans. They took to the streets after they won a playoff game last week. Their fans are so passionate, so behind them, so positive, so defensive of them. And yet, what have they done to earn that? Like, it's just so strange. Like, who walks around like they're the best team in the world when you haven't done anything in 2 decades?
But
I'm not picking on them, but it just shows you how popular and how important they are, that any little thing that they do just explodes and mounts into something that other teams need to win championships to get on that level. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's wrong.
But also, I feel bad because they really are an amazing fan base, and that's what fuels so much of it, is that they just happen to have the most passionate, awesome fan base you could have. And as a result, there can be negative to that, unintended negatives.
We'll take some phone calls. Do want to quickly give credit. You know, sometimes players do things and they don't embrace the fact that they did something wrong. Dak Prescott, I thought, did an unbelievable thing yesterday and did an apology that was real. It wasn't one of the, if I offended anybody, and it wasn't, you know, making excuses for, he just said I was wrong for saying that, you know, the officials essentially deserved to have stuff thrown at them by the crowd. I think it came across that way to you too, Peter, right?
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought he sounded like a guy who absolutely understands, you know, he's just, he's an honest, real person. He wasn't thinking when he said, oh, then it's well-deserved or goodbye them, whatever he said. Saying that he was happy with the fans throwing things at the ref, he wasn't thinking. He was just frustrated that much. That's a totally believable out. And he took the right path, which is just be truthful. Yeah, I was passionate and I got upset. My bad. Sometimes people overdo it with these complicated responses. Remember even I said a while ago the Julius Randle thing was like four paragraphs, none of which amounted to just being like, yo, I'm sorry. That was really my fault.
But you know why? Because he was forced to do that.
Right. Dak meant this. He was like, oh, man, that was kind of stupid. I'm the quarterback. I can't say that. That was loose.
Yep. So we got that. We got a lot of stuff going on. Dan Orlovsky. We'll talk to him at 5:30. That's always fun. 1-800-919-3776. Don and Peter, their favorite guy. His whole reputation is changing. Bruce Arians gets fined $50,000 for slapping one of his players on the side of the head. Because he didn't want him to get into a, he said he did it because he didn't want him to get into a brawl on the field. So he hit him. But the NBA said, no, NFL said, no, you can't do that. $50,000. It's a guy that Don and Peter love. Love.
I was going to talk about this in ENN. Don, you watched the video?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's interesting. It's not appropriate.
I thought it was inappropriate when I saw it live.
It's not appropriate. Yeah, you can't do that. But honestly, I'd of course be interested to hear what Adams has to say about it. Did he feel any way about it, or did it feel like someone who you love trying to protect you from doing something?
Well, we have to really get Adam's real take. Yeah. We kind of got to wait until he's off the Bucs and Arian's not his coach.
It's a fair, fair point.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we got a lot to do, and we're going to do it well, and we're going to do it with joy, and we're going to do it with happiness, and we're going to make you happy as well. That's our job, entertain and make you happy. That's fair. 1-800-919 every day. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. The Michael Kay Show.
I've never seen a team that whines on every single call. Every call. They complain as if they're an elite team. I mean, these officials are not foolproof. They're going to make bad calls. They make bad calls for the other team, too. But here's another thing, everybody, that the Knicks have to improve on. They've lost the last two games because they can't shoot free throws. So you want all these foul calls, what, to miss shots? You want these calls for what? So you can look worse on the free throw line?
The Michael Kay Show.
Oh, then I'll be nude from 6:30 to 7.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, everybody, settle in. It's time for Game Time, brought to you by Telemardew Irish Whiskey. Toronto at the Rangers tonight at the Garden. It's a TNT broadcast, but if you want to listen to it and listen to it done correctly, it's Don LaGreca at the mic. Our pregame show starts at 7. Puck drops at 7:30 with Donnie doing the play-by-play. And then in basketball, the Knicks are off, but the Brooklyn Nets are in Washington. That's a 7 p.m. start, and 6:30 is the pregame on Yes. 7 o'clock is the tip-off. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple-blended, triple-distilled, and triple-cask-matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's Game Time, it's Tully Time. Please enjoy responsibly. And one of our listeners tweeted this to me. I think we've spoken about this before because the name now rings a bell. The Popcorn Kid is Mike Ciparelli. And he has his own website, not website, Twitter site. And it's at the Popcorn Kid 23. So he's an educator, both on and off the field, according to his bio. Sports fanatic, thrill seeker, optimist, taking life day by day, lives in New York. So okay. Mike Ciparelli. So he is. He's got to be about 40.
Wow.
And he has a picture that he put up in 2020. I guess ESPN had him come to the ESPYs after the popcorn incident. So he was at the ESPYs, 92, 93 ESPYs, and that was the Jimmy V speech. And he was sitting next to George Foreman. Pretty cool, right?
That's awesome. Yeah. That is awesome.
Probably a follower of the show.
I would hope he's a sports fan living in New York.
And he follows me.
Don, a question for you. It's important.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Would you actually want him on the show?
I wouldn't mind.
It'd have to be a slow day.
Very slow, right?
No, I don't think he's a guest, but I'd like him to call in.
Oh, like a call in, like a caller. Oh, sure.
You could always that like? I mean, did you ever have any interaction with Mattingly after that? Do you watch it and think it's another person? Oh, I'd have some probing questions.
Well, maybe on the anniversary. What year was it? Was it 92, 90?
It must have been 92 or 91, something like that.
All right, so maybe if it was 92, then this year we'll be coming up on the 30th anniversary. Hopefully it'll be during a week and we can have him on.
No, even if it's on the weekend, we'll do a special show.
Yeah. Oh, well, you could.
So some baseball news.
Yes.
They're still in a lockout. Not about that. But it was announced by the sports writer of the year, Jeff Passan. He broke it yesterday. Carlos Correa switched agents. His agent is now Scott Boras.
There you go.
So before he got Scott Boras, the word was he was looking for about $330 million total value of his contract. I don't think he just got cheaper.
No.
When you sign on with Scott, and I have no problem with Scott whatsoever, he's going to get you top dollar. That's where he's going to direct you. You know, forget about these feel-good stories. You know, I want to play for less. No, no. If you have Scott Boras as your agent, you want the most money you could possibly get.
Now, him not signing before the lockout, was that by his choice, or was it just they ran out of road talking to teams? Like, was it just circumstance, or did he specifically wait until signing after the lockout?
I think all of those guys wanted to sign before, but there were other shortstops coming off the market, and I guess the money wasn't there at the level that he wanted. But I'll tell you this, Corey Seager got the money I think he wants from Texas, and I think Carlos Correa is better than Corey Seager. I think he's better than Seager. I do.
Well, you're taking a chance.
I think he's better than Trevor Story. I think he's better than Simeon. I think he's the best shortstop on the market.
I mean, I think he'll be fine, Michael, but you are taking a chance because you don't know what the landscape's going to be.
Well, I know one thing that the landscape is going to be done, it's going to be hurried. So when they come to an agreement, whatever that is, it's going to be like a week and a half. They say, okay, get down to spring training. There are 300 players that are unsigned.
Right.
And there's still deals that have to be made.
So if he messes around, like let's say the worst case scenario happens. Well, I shouldn't say worst case. Worst case would be no season at all. But if it goes the way Buster was talking about it, like we don't get started until June, and then there's this frenzy to get down and play. I mean, is he going to be willing to maybe not play in 2022? Because he doesn't like the offers and is going to sit when half the season's already gone anyway?
That would be dumb.
Well, I agree. But, you know, we'll see how – we don't know what's going to happen here. We don't know how deep this is going to go, how much of the season's going to be taken away, what the financial landscape will be. There's always going to be teams that will sign, but there'll also be teams that will be like, I'm not spending that money. I just got killed. I just missed 3 months of the season, you know, if something like that were to happen. So you're taking a chance waiting until after.
We'll see. But, you know, again, I think the ramifications of this, if you thought you were going to get him on the cheap, you're not going to get him on the cheap.
Right.
You're just not. I'm sorry. If you get Boras, you have a certain thing in mind, and that is I want to get the most money I could get. We always have fun with this. Mel Kiper Jr. came out with his first mock draft. So mock draft 101, I guess he called it, or mock draft 1. And he has the Jets taking a safety with the first-round pick that they have.
That's four, right?
Yeah. And I don't care. Name the best safety in NFL history, Don.
Ronnie Lott.
I'm not taking him with the fourth pick in the draft, especially the way the NFL values safeties, because you're essentially taking the fourth pick in the draft for a guy that you're going to keep for 4 years. Now, if I'm going to take anybody in the top 10, I envision that that player staying there for 10 years, being a cornerstone of my team. The Jets don't value safeties.
Most teams don't. And most teams don't, unless they're in a situation like Seattle, who thought they were going to win a Super Bowl and make a trade for Jamal Adams, and then because they traded the first round picks, that they had to go out and re-sign him. The point is, they're going through the same dilemma with Marcus May that they went through with Jamal Adams. You end up having a great 3-4 years to start his career. Now it's time to pay him, and nobody in a salary cap era is going to want to pay a ton of money for a safety. That's why you don't take safeties that high. So if you take a safety at 4, Michael, and he's phenomenal for his first 3 seasons and wants to get paid, you're like, well, I can't pay you that much money. You're great, but you're a safety. That's why you don't take safeties that high. So what does Mel know something we don't? Or is Mel just telling you, I believe he's the 4th best player in the draft?
Well, I heard Mel on with Barton Hahn today, and he was explaining it's not just like that. He said both Todd McShay, we make phone calls to teams and people that we know, and we try to place players that are good with needs. Well, I'm sorry. As good as Kyle Hamilton of Notre Dame is, the only reason that you would need a safety is because Marcus May is probably out for next year. And I'm going to tell you another thing. They weren't going to sign Marcus May either. Marcus May is a really good player. He wanted big money. He was going to go the same route as the previous safety that you traded, Jamal Adams. So why would any team draft a safety with a high draft pick when they know that they're not going to sign him to a big money contract?
Unless you just come up with a team that values safeties more than others and gives them the money. But the Jets are not a win-now team.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If a safety is the last piece of the puzzle, like, as you said, Seattle thought that Jamal Adams was, listen, they overpaid in a big way for him. It was crazy. But I understand that more than a rebuilding team like the Jets saying, I'm going to use the 4th pick in the draft for a safety that will be on the team in 5 years, because if he's great, like if we're scouting him the right way and we love him so much and he actually turns out to be that player, we'll never pay him what he wants.
Because what's going to happen with the Jets, Michael, is that if everything goes well and they sign free agents and they draft well, in a couple of years, they're going to be ready to contend. And then you get to that 3rd year where you've already invested a lot of money on not just the free agents that you signed, but now the guys that you drafted over the last couple of years, they're now looking to get paid, including Zach Wilson, who will also be a year ahead of the safety that you draft that you're going to have to pay. So it just becomes you run out of money. Where now it's like, I can't give the safety that money. I got a quarterback to pay. I got a wide receiver to pay. I went and signed a corner that I got a ton of money allocated to. So then you run into the same thing. Just as you're ready to pop, now you got to make a decision on whether you're going to be able to pay him or not. You pay him, and then you lose another piece that might be even more important to you down the road. That's why you don't take them as high as you take them. Maccagnan screwed the Jets by taking Adams as high as he took him. It made sense at the time because he's a great player. But if you're not going to pay him, then he's walking out the door. Why are you drafting a player that high that in 4 years is going to leave?
Now, Don,
and why do you value a player so much that you obviously don't value at that position?
Now, Don, just for fun.
Right.
Would you agree with Michael's statement, though? Literally, if it was Ronnie Lott, Sean Taylor, an absolute, like, potential franchise player for 15 years, 13 years, would you still not use the 4th pick on him?
Probably not, Peter, unless
you change your heart and say, I'll pay him.
Because I guess the best hope is that you either need or have to keep someone who plays a more valuable position. So are you willing to give Ronnie Lott the money to stay at safety and have Jerry Rice walk out the door? Or have Lawrence Taylor walk out the door, or Reggie White walk out the door, right? That's the best case scenario. Now, maybe you get to a situation where I don't have a great player at those positions, but guess what? I want to get him, and if I'm going to get him, I need the money to get him.
So that's
the problem is that it's not about the player. It never was. Jamal Adams was a great player. There's no question how good a player he was with the Jets. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about how good Saquon Barkley could be. It's in the best case scenario, Is that the position where you want to allocate your funds and then come up short at the edge pass rusher, at the left tackle position, at the wide receiver position, at the corner position? You can't. That's the way it works in this sport. That's the problem. So it's not even about what the player can become.
Now, here's what Kiper did in his mock for the four picks for the Giants and the Jets. So the Jets with the fourth pick, he has them taking the safety, Kyle Hamilton of ND. The Giants with the fifth pick, he has them taking Ikem Akwono, an offensive tackle from NC State. Then the Jets at seven, David Ojabo, the outside linebacker from Michigan. And then the Jets at 10, that was the Giants at seven. The Jets at 10, Drake London, the wide receiver from USC. And by the way, I know Peter will ask, he has the Washington football team taking Malik Willis, a quarterback from that football powerhouse, Liberty, with the 11th pick.
Is that real?
That's real.
Liberty. That was Jerry Falwell's college, I think.
Whose?
Jerry Falwell.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he started the college.
Oh, that's Liberty?
Yeah. Liberty, yes. Liberty.
No, that's a different.
Liberty. Right, completely different, but.
Malik Willis.
Yeah, do a deep dive on that because that could be your quarterback for the next.
The highlight says the most electrifying quarterback in college football.
Although most people think that the kid Pickett from Pitt might be the best quarterback. Malik Willis had a bad year last year, but in previous years he's been better. So he supposedly has a lot of talent.
I don't want someone who had a bad year last year, really, do I?
Well, he fits in right with your team.
He played against nobodies, and he had a bad year.
Yeah, you can't, Michael, if you're going to be a future great franchise quarterback, you can't have a bad year with Liberty's schedule.
Who do you think the best team?
I have no idea even what conference they're in.
Well, you know, we can fire up the Google machine.
I'm doing it right now. Okay, here you go. First of all, they played in the big Lending Tree Bowl and beat Eastern Michigan 56-20. I'll have you know.
Oh, Peter's going to be in love with this kid by the time we get to the 5 o'clock hour.
The time he finishes this little segment.
Well, they blew out Old Dominion, the former University of the Great Taylor Heineke. Let's see. FIU, if they beat Fashion Institute.
No, that's Florida International.
They beat Maine 59-44.
When you beat Maine, throw away the records.
Is that? Oh, sorry, I just went back to 2019.
Oh no, hasn't changed much.
They lost. They lost to number 16 Louisiana, 42-14.
Okay.
They lost to Army 31-16. They lost to Mississippi 27-4. This isn't a good
game. So they had some big-time schools.
But they played big schools. That's true. Okay. I don't know if he did anything in those games.
And the average annual cost of an education at Liberty is $40,469.
Let's see how Malik Willis fared when Liberty played Ole Miss. Let's see. 16-25, 173 yards, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Not good.
Not exactly what you want against the the meaty
part
of
the schedule.
You
expect? You gotta go a little deeper than we're going if you're going to take them 11th overall.
You think? I hope so. Because on my first glance, I'm not overly impressed.
Got to check the film, Peter.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Artie in the car. Artie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good,
thanks
you?
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
I got
to tell you. This is the best show on the radio, man. And thanks again for the James Harden 61 points tickets I went to the Knicks game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've met Michael K. a million times, but I'm just your Joe average fan, and he's the nicest guy in the world. My question is, would the Yankees go after Correa only if he apologized for disparaging Jeter? And if so, would he actually apologize, in your opinion? And I'll listen to you guys go.
Artie, doesn't have to apologize. You think the Yankees would make him apologize because he said something that wasn't nice about the owner of the Marlins? He has to apologize?
Come on.
I mean, are you serious? Imagine Brian Cashman. Again, this is all hypothetical. He pushes across a contract to Correa, 10 years, $350 million. It's yours, baby. all you have to do is say, I'm sorry about what I said about Derek Jeter. You think Brian would ever utter that? Brian, the same guy who said to Derek, go find a better contract.
Right. Did he have to apologize for that?
He's going to make Carlos Correa apologize about Derek Jeter? Are you out of your mind? I thought he was going to say something even at least could be discussed. You know, is he going to address the cheating and stuff?
That's what I thought he was going to say.
But Derek Jeter, he insulted Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter's fine, by the way. I think he's doing well.
How much would you offer him?
I don't know what I would offer, but if you're offering him $350 million, you're going to make him apologize?
The point is, if you're willing to give him $350 million, Michael, you don't care what he said about Derek Jeter.
And you don't care about the cheating.
No, you want him because he can help you win now. Derek's the past. The cheating's in the past. You want to try to win now. Not telling you to love the guy. And believe me, once he starts winning championships for you and winning MVPs, you'll forgive him. All right, so he said some disparaging things about Derek Jeter. So what? Did Brian Cashman have to apologize for the way he handled Derek down the stretch? No.
I got to tell you, what he said about Jeter was dumb, didn't make sense. Yeah. I don't know why he would say it, but you think that would – if the Yankees wanted Correa, and I don't think the Yankees are going to sign Correa, but if the Yankees wanted Correa, you believe that would be the speed bump in the negotiations?
No. But I would say, Michael, that he probably felt comfortable saying it because he knows he's not being offered a contract by the Yankees, or he knows he's not going to the Yankees.
Why would
he want to open that Pandora's? But why would he want to have to start that fire?
But no, I think he wants to play for the Yankees, by the way. But
then it was the dumbest thing ever said.
But it doesn't impact whether the Yankees are going to want him or not.
But and I'm not saying that's why it would be dumb for him to do it, because I think he realizes that, you know, if the Yankees want him, they'll give him the money and he'll go there. But why would you want to start a fight with the fans you're trying to win over when you signed
them? It was short-sighted. It was dumb. Yeah. It was incorrect, too. But – like when the Yankees, if the Yankees signed him and they have that big press conference down in the Legends restaurant, he's going to be asked that by somebody. And knowing Carlos Correa, he's not going to apologize. That's what I felt. That's how he is. He's kind of a truth spitter. He's going to, what he thinks is the truth, he's just going to say. He doesn't care what you think about it. Also does one of the best imitations of me I've ever heard. He really does. You've heard it, right, Don?
Yes, I have.
It's tremendous.
It's okay.
It doesn't sound like me, but it has all the words and the inflection down perfectly.
Wow, he has the word see ya, back to the track.
You know, but who you are definitely helps, like, how great it is.
What'd you say?
Oh, wait.
I mean, who you are definitely helps how great it is.
Where is it, Andrew? Can you fire it up? I don't see it
could
on my
page. Worthy.
No, not really.
It's not. That was very Michael of you, Don.
Wow. High fly ball to deep right field. There it goes. See ya. A home run by Carlos Correa.
Perfect.
You got the Michael K down really well.
I do. So
listen,
obviously he loves the announcer of the Yankees, but
listen,
I don't know if that's
I love that he does an impression of you. It should make you feel very cool, which it does. To say that it's a good impression, though, would be a lie. It's a terrible impression.
This is very rare for you, Peter. Yeah. You're playing Captain Literal, man.
What do you mean?
Michael was judging the greatness based on the ball player.
Right. That Correa is great, and it makes him feel good.
Right.
So it's a great impression.
And but that's
literally,
all it takes.
It sounds like a little kid doing it. It doesn't sound anything like Michael.
If Jay-Z, right? If Jay-Z was on The Tonight Show and burped your name out, you'd probably send out flyers to people.
But if I said to people, hey, that guy's, you want to hear the world's greatest burp? And then they heard it, and it was just like this. I'd go, well.
But who else does imitations of me? Remember Frank Caliendo said I couldn't do one of you. He said there's nothing that to grab onto. This guy did it. If it's the only imitation anybody's ever done, it's the best one ever done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don.
No, Peter, you got to take the L on this.
Okay.
Why?
You're telling me if Jay-Z burped your name. If Jay-Z burped your name, it was the worst burp ever, but he burped your name, you wouldn't consider it the greatest burp of all time.
I would.
Of course you would.
I wouldn't try to objectively say, this is great. I'd go, it makes me so happy. I love this. Like Michael should say, I'm so tickled that Correa did an impression of me. It made me feel special. He shouldn't say it's a great impression.
Duncan, can you believe this? Can you believe what this jackwagon
is
doing?
No, this is so unlike him. It's It's really flat. I'm embarrassed for him.
Andrew, am I lying?
About the impression?
Yes. Do you think that impression sounds like Michael Kay?
I mean, it's not Frank Caliendo. I mean, I'm not confusing Carlos Correa for Michael Kay.
It's not John Caliendo. It's nobody. So what makes it a good impression?
Because he has all the words and the way I
all
say them.
All the words.
And the inflection. He has a there it goes. Other people might just say, see ya. You know, you're a jackwagon is what you are.
Just who does it affects it? You know what? If I go out in an NFL game this weekend and kick a 25-yard field goal, guess what? It's the greatest kick ever. Because I kicked it.
Right.
A 53-year-old man.
Well, don't bring up field goal kicking.
Carlos Correa, a famous baseball player who doesn't have any affiliation with the Yankees.
None.
Just arbitrarily does an impression of Michael's play-by-play call. That makes it great.
Thank you, Don.
All of a sudden, he's
going to
be Rich Little?
This is of all the places, right? This is the hill he's choosing to die on. And you know what? I'm going to let him bleed out on that hill, too.
Yeah, we'll
be
let him bleed
out. Who agrees with me? Everyone.
Who agrees with you?
If we did a poll, is this a good impression of Michael Kay or just a famous guy saying what Michael Kay says? 95% would say it's a famous guy saying what Michael Kay says.
You're missing the spirit of the whole thing.
I know the spirit. I'm destroying the spirit. I'm the Grinch.
I've never seen you in this light, and it's not flattering.
Yeah, it's not attractive.
How about this?
It's not a good look for you.
How about if I turn this way? It's a bad impression.
What a jerk. D. Nozzle. We'll be back on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I got to tell you something. Let's say an average month is 30 days, because some have 31. February has 28. Every 4 years has 29. We know the deal. But the average month is 30 days. I would say that of a 30-day month, 27 of them, I am absolutely elated and thrilled that Peter is part of my life.
Okay.
This is one of the 3 days that I can't stand the sight of him, by the way he just acted.
I didn't do anything wrong. Except tell the truth.
I am telling the truth.
I told the truth. I didn't know it was wrong for me to tell the truth.
When you're hurting somebody, so if Ballard comes over and he smells like cheese, would you say, "Bye, you stink," or would you like be nice and not say it?
No, I wouldn't say that. But if he said, "Man, I smell amazing," I'd go, "Well, what's amazing?" That's all. And got a couple of great tweets during the break here. A lot of people on board with me and this being a bad impression. Wow. Evan pointed out, did Michael Kay just compare Carlos to Correa to Jay-Z? That was such a reach comparison-wise for baseball. To Jay-Z for me.
This is sad what's happening right now, Peter.
I'm just pointing out that's
how
a terrible.
Desperate you're trying to win this unwinnable argument.
But I already won. Everyone knows
no,
it's
you
true.
Didn't win. Because, listen, I can't speak for Michael, but I'm going to try. All right? In no way, shape, or form was the quality of the impression what made it great.
But he said.
Steve Young is our number one guest, right?
Okay.
Half of it's because he's a phenomenal guest.
Right.
You know, with his interview. But most of it's because he's Steve Young. He's a Hall of Famer. The exact same interview done by Joe Schmo would not even be in the top 100.
Well, that's beautifully said.
Well, it's interesting to know how you feel about Steve Young, because I actually think he's a great phone.
Listen, it's a great interview,
wow.
But what makes him number one, he's a great interview and a Hall of Famer. It's an unbelievable combination. How many famous people have an impression of you?
That's not the conversation.
Yeah, it is.
It is the conversation. It's the exact conversation.
Can we hear it one more time? You have it over there?
No, I have to read the Super Box Bonanza.
Please.
You're the worst.
Save Peter by reading this.
It's the 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza. Be caller number 3 right now for the Peter's height at 888-987-ESPN right now.
Now
to win a $20 FanDuel credit, access for 4 to the FanDuel pregame virtual party hosted by Peter Rosenberg, Chris Carlin, and Super Bowl champ Chris Canty. And select a box for the big game with a chance to win $500 in the first and third quarters, $1,000 at halftime, and $3,000 for the final score. This is big stuff, man.
It is.
Now, when selecting a box from 1 to 100, winners could reveal one of 10 daily double prizes, including a Samsung smart TV, Sonos One smart speaker, Apple Watch, electronic scooter, which Peter's going to need in about 20 years, and more.
Again, what, now you're just launching into a nasty attack.
Yes.
Because I said Carlos Correa, a hated Astro, by the way, hated, despised, because he did, I don't love his impression of you? That's awful.
Remember to be listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, Greeny, Bart and Hahn, and this fine show, The Michael Kay Show, through February 11th. That's the Friday before the Super Bowl, for your chance to be a part of Super Box Bonanza. All brought to you by FanDuel and 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to Jay in Brooklyn. JJ.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Michael, Don, Peter.
Good afternoon to you.
I'm doing very well. Listen, full disclosure, I'm a peanut, okay?
Nice.
Last time I called, I gave the Cedar's Shining Sea soliloquy on my soapbox, and Michael told me to towel off. But,
right.
Peter, you're dead wrong here, bud. Yeah. I'm in my house. I got the app on. I'm listening to ESPN on the app. And I'm cooking and cooking up a storm. And I hear I catch the moment late, but I hear someone giving their impression of Michael Kay. And I'm like, oh, so now we're doing random Joe Schmo impressions. This is horrible. But then I find out it's Carlos Correa. And I say, wait, I need some more of this. Give me a little bit more of that cowbell.
Inject more of that.
I want Carlos Correa on the Yankees immediately. So, Peter, I'm sorry, buddy.
Wait, was that supposed to hurt my argument? I feel like you just made my argument for
but
me.
No, he's making Don's argument because he said it was not a great impression.
Boom.
It was a great impression because it was by Carlos Correa.
That's it.
That's
exactly.
That's all we're saying.
And one last thing. Shout out to that guy, Greg. Thank you very much. Love
he's
you guys.
A great guy. But that just doesn't. I haven't been proven wrong. I've been proven right.
Oh, but you're being Captain Literal, man, is what you're
right.
doing.
No, that's it. I just care about the English language. It's lovely that he did it. It's really cute and funny and nice, and it should
and
make
great.
You feel good. You said an all-time great impression. And if an all-time great impression means famous person knows the words and says it, I'm sorry. I hold him to a normal human standard of good impression. I'm not giving him some – what kind of participation trophy is this for Carlos Correa? He just has to open his mouth and it's a great impression? No. Not on my book. Not today.
But it wasn't – you're making it seem like Michael asked him to do it.
No, Matthew
Stucco
asked him to do it.
That's what made it great.
Yeah.
That is great.
He's not a
I love
Yankee.
That.
Wow, how did he even hear Michael's play-by-play to know to do that?
Well, he's watched SportsCenter before. They show Michael's highlights all the time.
No, not they don't really do the
Michael
call that much.
Many, many times a year, I see a full. They're calling it, and then they lay out and let the voiceover go, and you hear your call regularly. You don't think the opposing players have heard? First of all, they're thrilled to hit home runs against the Yankees and to hear the iconic Michael Kay call. And of course, they've heard it.
And to know
Michael's
Michael
a local
Kay.
Yokel.
Well, this is like. Patriots Bears and you're still
I've
throwing.
Never
you're still throwing I give you credit you're not taking a knee you're still throwing
listen if you want we can parlay this with the fact that I still feel okay about when I gave RJ his wedding present. I'll double down and lay on the hill buck naked roll around in horse manure
just like that guy in Florida yesterday. Let's go to Doug in New Jersey. Doug,
I gotta say just one quick thing. I don't think I've ever agreed with anyone more in my entire life on any subject ever than I agree with Peter on this subject. That was a terrible impersonation.
See, that's pretty good, Doug.
That was good. That's
good.
Way better than Carlos's, but it's still not great. So you see the difference.
It's Carlos Correa.
Again,
right. Doug did a better impression, not even good. Carlos does an awful impression. It's great.
Can we hear Carlos one more time before we go to our Super Box contestant?
Here we go. I'm ready.
I think Andrew's
high fly ball to deep right field. There it goes. See ya. A home run by Carlos Correa.
Got the Michael Kay down really well.
Yeah, I do.
The inflection is perfect. The words are on point.
The words are on point.
So he's not rich little, so maybe he's just well off tiny. That's okay, what he is.
What's a better impression? Carlos Correa doing that, or me just going, "Hi, I'm Marge Simpson." That's not bad. But
since you're not really as famous as Carlos Correa, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
My point is, my Marge Simpson impression isn't good. It's nothing. It's a throwaway. It's zero. And it was better in 2 seconds.
What a jerk. Let's go to Gilbert DaCosta from Pleasantville, New York, which is a great place to live. Hello, Gilbert. How you doing?
What's up, Michael? How are you?
We're doing great. You are the Superbox contestant, so congratulations about that. Now I need you. Now, you've already won the $20 FanDuel credit, access for four to the FanDuel pregame virtual party. You got that. Now we need you to select a box from 1 to 100. There are some that are daily double boxes, special boxes, where you get a prize automatically, but you will be locked and loaded to win money, possibly win money, on that Super Sunday. So give me a box from 1 to 100.
66.
Not a super box, but I'll tell you what, Gilbert, you're locked in, baby. You are locked in. You can win up to $3,000. So when we draw the numbers, we want you listening so you know exactly what you're rooting for. But thank you for playing, man.
Well, Mario Lemieux.
Sounds great, Michael. You guys have a great night. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Gilbert. You too.
Thanks, Gilbert.
I like that. That made me in a better mood. Boy, my hair looks flat with this haircut. Really flat.
Oh, wow. Sorry, you're looking at it. Yeah.
Really flat. I need some volume up there, you know?
Yeah. We don't want you to not have volume.
Why is he being like this, Don?
What do you mean? I was sincere.
Yeah, it's weird. You didn't have to go after him the way you did. We call him 3 feet tall and all that. That was wrong as well.
Here's what I think it is, Don. He's staring a historic loss in the pick segment right in the face. He can't handle it. So what
why is he going after you?
Because he wants to pick a fight with me, thinks that I have the power to go to management, get him off the show. This way he doesn't have to pay off the bet. That's exactly what he's doing.
Wow. Well, that would be a mistake.
That's a very
Peter,
deep...
don't ask off the show.
I'm not.
Okay.
Too bad. We'll be back in just a moment right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. Let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Kevin in the Bronx. Kevin.
Hello, good afternoon, Michael, Don, and Peter. How you guys doing?
Great. How about you?
Doing very well, guys. Oh, and Don, I just want to send some love Don's way. Don, you look sharp in that jacket and tie, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Amen. Yeah, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. I'll be quick with regards to Dak Prescott. I was with you guys yesterday afternoon, and I was listening to you talk about Dak Prescott. And Peter, you had mentioned that in your view, you see Dak as a glorified game manager. I would agree with that as well. I see Dak as a game manager. I also see him as an excellent leader of men on the football field. He's a good quarterback, but there are limitations. And what I'm hoping for moving forward, that the Cowboys would recognize, if they haven't already, recognize what those limitations are. And we also have to be fair about something as well. He was really without two of his key components there with regards to what makes the Cowboys a good offense. Even though Zeke was on the field and Tony Pollard was on the field, Zeke was dealing with a PCL injury. I don't know if you guys heard about that. And also Tony Pollard was dealing with plantar fascia. So these two players weren't at the top level. They weren't at 100%, but nevertheless,
you're making excuses. Tom Brady didn't have Godwin, didn't have Brown, didn't have Fournette. How'd he do? Stop. And I'm not comparing Dak to Tom Brady, but is Elliott out there? Okay, then he's fine. He's out. He's fine. I'm sorry. He didn't have a good game. He was 23 for 43, 254. Wasn't good.
Had the ball, 2.5 minutes left, chance to go win the game.
Sack five times, I'm sorry.
And I do want to say, I absolutely adore my take of that. I've said this for a few years, that Dak is a glorified game manager. But let me be clear. He's absolutely a guy you want as your quarterback. I'm not saying the thing about the NFL is, guys, there's a handful of absolute elite quarterbacks. A handful. After that, you're lucky to get a glorified game manager. But I'm just saying, with the kind of money that Dak makes and the way he's talked about, because he's the Cowboys quarterback,
right?
He has not taken it to that next level, Don. If you were being forced to ask the question, is he elite? The answer, obviously, right now to me is no, he is not elite.
No, and this is not an isolated incident, all right? This is not the only time that he has failed in a big spot. And he has put up numbers that would suggest he's not a glorified game manager. But then you get to the nitty-gritty when it comes time to win big games in a division that's eminently winnable with a team that's got tons of offensive talent, has a really good defense, and has not been able to put anything together. And a moment like that cannot happen for a quarterback who's got to try to take his team to the next level.
And I've got to disagree with you on one point, Peter.
Okay.
Not a handful. I mean, I'm just, on the top of my head, there might be 10 quarterbacks better than him. I mean, when we come back in the top of the hour, we'll go through it. There's not a handful. That would be this just five.
Well, no, no.
There's way more than five.
Let me clarify just a little bit. The elite are a handful. The absolute elite are a handful. He's in the next category.
Yeah,
there's 5 to 10 of them.
I believe that you could name 10 quarterbacks that you would much rather have than Dak Prescott.
And then when you
get to the middle 10, right, you have to flip a coin. I think Dak has talent, but he's never done anything that just blew me away.
Well, guess what you just did, Michael? You just came up with a 5 o'clock topic.
That's it.
I want to talk about this. I'm curious if your number's right, that there are that many people who we'd say are out and out better than Dak.
And just this year, not for the future, so Tom Brady's ahead of him. So we'll start with that.
That's fine.
All right? We know that the two New York quarterbacks aren't. But we'll go through it. I think it's interesting. Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. You?
Good. Hanging in there. Can't complain. Listen, I just want to circle back to your Knicks conversation. You know, it's a very interesting thing, you know, what the Knicks are challenged with right now. Like, they're in that limbo position. You know, stating the obvious, you know, Tibbs plus the youth plus the free agency, you know, guys, it's not really a good mix. You know, the thing I would ask the Knicks, or like if I was asking the Knicks brass, I would just say, you know, if let's go on a premise that is worth doing whatever you can, like trading for a couple of marginal guys in the season, getting, you know, to the 7th or below in the play-in versus going for the lottery. You know, you just have to ask yourself, you know, if you this superstar that is supposed to be on the horizon that's never coming, but, you know, if he's on the horizon, if you were to trade for that guy, you know, two things they'll ask with the coach that you have. The superstar player, he's not going to be a great two-way player. He's going to more likely be better offensively than defensively. So will your coach be able to work with that? And then second, if you're going to bring that guy in, with what you have here, you know, nobody wants Julius Randle. So is Batman going to accept Julius Randle as his Robin? You see, that's the question that I have a real concern with.
Yeah, but in a really good team, but Julius Randle is Alfred, and R.J. Barrett becomes Robin.
But you're going to have to give up R.J. Barrett. Nobody's trading for Julius Randle. So what are you going to give up for that superstar? They're not just going to take all these young guys. You have to give them something.
Yeah. But he has clicked with great players before. I mean, Jimmy Butler swears by him. He didn't get along with Karl Anthony Towns, but they both speak very highly of each other right now. I'm sure if Karl Anthony Towns were made available, that would be a piece to build on for the Knicks. He's a great, great player from the area in Jersey. I think that Thibs would sign off on it. Listen, you could have a great player that's not a great defender, but Thibs wants his players, most of them are, they don't fall under the heading of great, wants them to play defense. That's how they won last year. You got to work harder than the other team. That's another thing that bothers me about this year. You know, we came on the Martin Luther King Day game. Yeah, you know, we were sleepwalking for the first quarter. Why? Why? Why wasn't Charlotte sleepwalking? Why? That's the question I have to ask. Nobody should be outworked.
Yeah.
Effort is not a talent. Effort is a mindset.
Why does everybody get up for playing at the Garden except them? They get to play here 41 times a year.
Nothing bothers me more while we didn't have the energy in the first quarter. That's on you. Bad job by the coach. Bad job by the players. I just saw Mike McCarthy said, I knew my guys were nervous in the pregame prayer. Really? Well, then make them unnervous. That's your job. If you knew that then you've got to do something to correct that. You can't let them go out on the field and essentially lose the game in the first quarter. Sorry. You're not doing your job. Who's better than Dak? We'll come back. We'll break it down for the people right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. The Michael K. Show.
Knowing Carlos Correa, he's kind of a truth spitter. He's going to, what he thinks is the truth, he's just going to say. He doesn't care what you think about it. Also, does one of the best imitations of me I've ever heard.
High fly ball to deep right field. There it goes. See ya. A home run by Carlos Correa.
I love that he does an impression of you. It should make you feel very cool, which it does. To say that it's a good impression, though, would be a lie. It's a terrible impression.
This is very rare for you, Peter. Yeah. You're playing Captain Literal, man.
If it's the only imitation anybody's ever done, it's the best one ever done.
The Michael K. Show.
All of a sudden, he's going to be Rich Little?
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so, off the performance over the weekend, obviously, Dak Prescott did not have a good game. Now, when you look at his numbers for the year, his 2021 rankings, third in quarterback rating, fourth in completion percentage, tied for fourth in TDs, tied for eighth in yards per attempt. He's seventh in yards per game. Interception percentage is seventh best. Now, those are great numbers. But when you watch him, the eye test tells you something different. And he hasn't won a playoff game. So we were just talking, if you just got in the car from work, how many quarterbacks are better than Dak? So let's do this exercise right now. Start with the AFC East. The only quarterback that's better is Allen. Is that fair?
Yes. Yes.
Patriots, no. Dolphins, no. Jets, no.
Correct.
No.
All right. AFC North. Burrow's better.
Yes.
So far.
Well,
he's had one,
he has one more playoff win.
He has one more playoff win, but people are coronating him completely already. I think he needs a little more time.
Right. If you had a win this year, who would you want as your quarterback?
This year it would be Burrow. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Steelers, no. Browns, no. I wouldn't take Mayfield over him. Lamar Jackson, I would take over him.
I probably would too. Yeah. Because Dak's skill set is more well-rounded, but Lamar is such a great runner and he's already proven to be a winner.
Yeah, he's won an MVP, he's won playoff games. Yeah.
And by the way, Dak does have one playoff win he won in 2018. So.
Right.
All right, so AFC South. I'm not giving Tannehill the nod over him, not giving Wentz the nod over him. Now, this is – I don't know how we do this. Deshaun Watson's better than him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll put Deshaun Watson there. And I'm sorry, although I think he's going to be better, I can't give the Jacksonville quarterback the nod.
No.
No, you can't.
No. All right, so let's go to the NFC. Eagles, no.
Oh, wait, Washington, we still have the West.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
We still have Mahomes, yes.
Mahomes, yes. I think Carr is better.
No, he's not better. I
would
take.
I would, right now, I'm taking Carr. Absolutely.
Herbert's better.
Herbert needs more time, but he was better.
Herbert and Burrow are kind of the same. He did throw for 5,000 yards this year. Granted, they had the extra game, but certainly Burrow and Herbert have had, you know, one season where Dak has had a few really good seasons. Dak's 2019 stats are as good as anything that Burrow and Herbert have done. But clearly, who are you going to take based on age and what they've accomplished so far? Sure.
All right, let's look at the NFC East. Cowboys, obviously, it's Dak. Eagles, no. Washington, no. Giants, no. So he's the best quarterback in the division. Let's look at the NFC North. Aaron Rodgers is better. Kirk Cousins is not better. Nobody with the Bears is better. Jared Goff is not better. All right, go to Tampa Bay. Brady's better. Nobody on the Saints is better. This is an interesting one. Is Matt Ryan better?
It's over for Matt.
Yeah, I'd take Dak.
Okay. All right. Matthew Stafford, I think, is better.
Yeah.
Me too. Is Kyler Murray better?
Not yet, no.
Not yet, okay. 49ers, Garoppolo, I don't think he's better. Russell Wilson's better. Right?
Absolutely.
All right, three.
Yeah, even
six,
right now. Absolutely.
Nine.
I think.
We have 11 right now if you include Carr and Herbert.
Carr's tough.
Well, how? I don't think so. I really don't think so.
I think that
Carr
is
never – Carr is only once in his career thrown for more than 30 touchdowns. He had a 32-touchdown season in 2015. Otherwise, over the last few years, 2018, 19, and 10. So is it touchdowns, interceptions. 19-10, 21-8, 27-9, 23-14. He's never thrown for 5,000. Came close this year with the extra game. Otherwise, he's been around 4,000. He's not as good as Dak Prescott.
I'm just saying at this very moment, I'm looking at a year where Dak had an absolutely loaded team that in the end underperformed.
But
Derek had a team that was not nearly as talented and was ravaged by issues and willed them into a really good year. But that's fine. You could say Dak's better than Derek if you want to.
But it's a really tough conversation to have. Herbert hasn't been in the postseason yet. For all we know, he would have done the same thing Dak has done the last few times. We don't know. All right? We don't know. Burrow had a win in a home game. We don't know what his postseason resume is going to be. You know, so some of these younger guys, yeah, they're better. To me, it was like comparing Eli Manning to Tony Romo back in the day. If you looked at the regular season stats, there's no question Tony Romo was a much better quarterback than Eli. But who'd you want in a big spot? You'd want Eli, which made Eli the better quarterback. But right now, some of these guys don't have the resume that Dak has in the postseason. What's going to kill Dak is his postseason record. It's just one playoff win for all the talent and how that team has been built. You can make the case that every year that Dak has been the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, they were expected to make deep runs in the postseason. He has not been a part of a rebuild. He hasn't been part of, we're just lucky to get to the playoffs. It's been a division that's been wide open for them to be able to win. And he's got one playoff win in his career when the owner of the team expected him to win a Super Bowl this year.
NFC. You can't expect somebody to perform to the money you gave him, but you have allocated $40 million of your cap to the guy. Now you could do that with the great quarterbacks because they're gonna pay off in the end. But with Dak, we had a caller just say, "Well, Zeke wasn't perfect. Another guy had plantar fascia. So you're gonna need great players around Dak." So I think that what we said initially is true. He's middle of the pack. He's not an elite quarterback. He's just not. But no. He's making elite money. They're paying him as an elite quarterback. And again, that's timing. That comes down to timing. His contract was up at the right time.
But what's interesting, though, is he's still young enough, even though he's established himself in his career, that, you know, eventually Rodgers is gone, Brady is gone, and he has the chance to become even higher on the list. Burrow and Herbert are going to replace Rodgers and Brady someday. And we'll see what happens with Wilson, and we see what happens with Lawrence and Fields and all these other guys. But the stats show you he's a really, really good quarterback. What kills him is his postseason numbers and a lot of what he does in the second half. Heck, if the season was 8 games long, Peter, he'd be going to the Hall of Fame.
Right? Be an
MVP
every year.
There's been two separate seasons where you look at it, they'd always have the MVP at the midway point is Dak. He'd have amazing stats, and so you turn up the heat there. But the thing is, you turn up the heat there on everybody. He's just one of many that seems to fold. Like you said, you know, they're paying a ton of money to Elliott, too. What kind of game did he have? You know, there's some good guys on defense they've had over the last 20 years. This has been what the Cowboys have been, no matter who the coach is, who the quarterback, best defensive player. This is what the Cowboys have been for two decades now.
Now, the other football story, I mean, obviously we'll get deep into the divisional round tomorrow. But the other story, Ralph Vacchiano of SNY is reporting that the Giants put in a request to interview Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn for the head coaching job, despite not having a GM. So that's interesting.
Well,
you could say that Dan Quinn did a good job in Atlanta, had a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, but blew it, and then it kind of fell apart. So what is Dan Quinn? He had a good year statistically as the D coordinator of the Cowboys, and a lot of teams have interviewed him. So even without a GM, the Giants decided to get into the party and see what it's all about. But, I mean, if you're a Giant fan, would you feel good about Dan Quinn being the coach?
You know, as opposed to guys that have never done it before? I mean, a guy coached a team to a Super Bowl.
Right.
As opposed to guys that are getting interviewed that have never been a head coach before. So there's good and bad. Now, obviously, he's got a stain on his resume, but it was a stain in the Super Bowl. The other, Jordan Ronan, is reporting that the general manager is going to have carte blanche in the organization to do whatever he wants.
Right.
To rebuild, to fix on the fly.
Yeah.
So, like, so one report is saying he's going to have carte blanche. Well, then why would you interview a head coach? Then I would not suggest that maybe you wouldn't necessarily have that much power. Like, what if Quinn blows you away? Then you're going to tell the general manager, I want Quinn to be my head coach.
But this could be it, though. I don't think they're doing that. I think that they've spoken to the people already. Everybody's been spoken to once. Two guys have been spoken to twice. I think there's one more to go. And the people that they consider their favorites, they probably asked them who they want as head coach. Maybe all of them said Dan Quinn is definitely in the top of the list. So they're doing the preliminary interview for the eventual GM, who will probably be named by the end of this week.
You know something that I was very opinionated on that I'm starting to climb off the mountain?
Oh, this doesn't happen often.
That it has to be an offensive coach in this day and age. Like, my feeling always was it's an offensive league. You got to have an offensive head coach. But over the last few years, when you see the heavy lifting a coach has to do, where it's almost impossible for them to be able to put their imprint and their expertise on an area, just shows you that just be a good head coach. Right, even if you're a genius offensively, you know, that doesn't mean that you get to impart that knowledge into your team when you've got so many other things to do. So, yeah, you bring in a guy that's an offensive guy. All right, he fixes the offense, but if he's not a good head coach, if he's not going to concentrate on the defense, are you going to win? So just give me a good head coach, no matter what his background is. I just want him to be good at his job. And his job is not to be a glorified offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. His job is to be a head coach. And we've seen when you fail at head coach, no matter what you're good at, you're going to fail as a team.
And the job description of a coach is somebody who gives power to others and then overlooks everything. I mean, we had on Robert Saleh. I thought his last interview with us was so telling because essentially what he said, he couldn't even watch tape. You've got so much responsibility as a head coach. So he couldn't really deal with the defense. Defense is his thing. That's his area of expertise. He wasn't. What is that sound?
I don't know.
Someone's getting out of their car.
No, it's in the arena. I don't know if I'm supposed to leave.
Oh, it's like an alarm?
Well, anyway, he could not be as great as he needs to be. He couldn't excel at his area of expertise. So if you're a good disseminator of power and delegator of power, that might be your – because the Giants special teams, were they anything special? And that was his area of expertise. They weren't special.
And you go back to Brian Billick back in Baltimore. He was an offensive genius in Minnesota, and they ended up winning on defense in Baltimore. You know, and I remember Tony Siragusa telling me it's because a head coach doesn't have time. He doesn't have time to go and walk over to the offensive coordinator and say, you should do it this way. He's got to deal with the media. He's got to deal with this and that. There's so many other things that go on. He's got to be, a jack of all trades, master of none almost, because what good is being a master when you can't utilize that? You don't have the time. So find the guy that could be a good decision maker, a good motivator. Just get them prepared to play, make halftime adjustments, have a good game plan. Make good decisions on what to do in the moment. We just saw what happened to the Cowboys when you don't have that. And then work everything else will work its way out.
Let's go to Tim in Cincinnati. Tim.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter. My first time calling, long time listener, senior at Xavier University.
Oh, cool.
I think that this is a move by the Giants, it, preemptive to their GM hiring, so that when they do hire a GM, Dan Quinn is very ready to interview with the Giants. I honestly think it's a fantastic move from what we've had recently.
Well, I mean, what you've had recently hasn't been very good. If you think he's better than Dable, you know, it's going to be interesting. Does Shane want to bring Dable, the offensive coordinator from Buffalo? Does the other candidate who has a connection with Brian Flores want Flores? Dan Quinn also is from Morristown, New Jersey, so he's a local guy. We'll see. But I think it's a smart move interviewing him because, again, they've gotten the lay of the land from all these GM candidates. Who they like, who do they think the best coach is out there? So the Giants are just doing the legwork early. It's smart. It's preemptive. I like it.
I just feel like a coach with prior experience as a head coach who didn't win a championship, it is such a disadvantage going up against all the hot coordinators. Because you're like, oh, look what happened in that Super Bowl. I don't want him. Well, wait a minute. Let's take a look at his – listen, it wasn't good in 2020. But here is his record. 2015, he was 8-8, 11-5, 10-6, 7-9, 7-9, and got fired after going 0-5. So his career, he's a 500 coach at 43-42. But that's 85 games of NFL experience, coached in a Super Bowl. And yet, because the resume, Peter, doesn't like resonate as being excellent, it almost puts him at a disadvantage to guys that have never done it before. How unfair is that?
Yeah, the entire process every year I feel like is flawed because you end up thinking about the same handful of guys, and then we get taught that there's going to be a name or two. Last year was two years ago, it was Matt Rhule and Joe Judge. These are the names now. Don, how much were we thinking about Matt Rhule and Joe Judge prior to them getting mentioned in that conversation?
Right.
And then it's like, you got to get one. They got to get Matt Rhule. They have to. Oh, no, they settled for Joe Judge. But yeah, to me, it all feels so arbitrary.
Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
First of all, Freeze was fabulous job. Fabulous job.
Thank you.
And I just want to say about, once again, Stephen A. Smith is wrong. Because he was waving that flag before he got signed to the big contract, Dak Prescott, that he should be paid as an elite quarterback.
When did Stephen A. said he's an elite quarterback?
I don't remember what he said about Dak Prescott, but it sounds
I think Chris is gone, but Don, I think it comes down to he's getting paid as one of the top quarterbacks, so people expect him to be that. I've always said what they pay you does not mean that you're going to perform that way. What they pay you is what you command on the open market.
And free market system. Now, were they hesitant to give him the money when they gave it to him?
Remember, they franchised him 2 years in a row.
Well, because they were strapped because they mistakenly gave Elliott a bunch of money because, again, they paid the running back. And then they had to go out and then they traded for Amari Cooper and that contract. So they didn't necessarily – they weren't sure – because of all the money they had allocated to other places, and then they realized, listen, we have a good quarterback. We got to make sure what's our alternative if he were to walk. So you said it best earlier in the show. It's the timing of it. There was a time Matt Ryan was the highest-paid quarterback in football. There was a time that Eli Manning was the highest-paid quarterback in football. Doesn't necessarily mean you're the best. It's the timing of when your contract comes up. And when you look at when you look at the Giants, when you look at other teams without quarterbacks, wouldn't you rather have Dak than nothing? And that's what the Cowboys were thinking about. All right, if we get rid of Dak and don't pay him, then what do we do?
Right. That's
where we go.
And that's what they thought about Tony Romo, and they were right.
Right.
I mean, you want to make the playoffs, and then you hope that people lift their games in the playoffs. And, you know, Dak didn't do that in this game. Really, and it's recency bias, too. Kyler Murray, everybody loves. Now they're wondering, gee, can you give him a long-term contract with the way he played. Jalen Hurts was a quarterback of the future until he played terribly in that game, although Howie Roseman said today they are progressing in the offseason as if Jalen Hurts is their quarterback with the Eagles. And now Dak Prescott had a bad game and a bad last play, so that's on everybody's mind. But what Don's saying is right on point. Can they go out and get a better quarterback? No, they're not available. Those quarterbacks are not available.
Now, they might fire McCarthy, but the Cowboys are still in a position to go out and try to win again next year. They'd be foolish not to be. Look at the rest of the division. So as much as we're killing them, they still probably feel like this still gives us the best chance to win, because if they don't have Dak, who are they replacing him with?
Right. That's exactly the point. All right, so when we come back, the great Dan Orlovsky. Got a lot of stuff to talk to him about. We'll ask him this question, too, about Dak. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, one thing that has been left unsaid, which is a little embarrassing to all of us, is that DiPietro and Rothenberg have caught up and tied us. Dude. We don't put enough effort into that. We just assume that we're so much smarter than them that we're going to win easily.
And we're too focused on our own internecine battles.
Oh, look at you dropping an internecine.
Internecine, I know it's right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
I told you what the problem was. The problem is they get to, after they make their picks in the morning, can sit there and spend all the time in the world until they call up our show on Friday to make the pick. We don't know what we're going to do because we don't want to tip our hand. And so we have like 30 seconds after we're done with the picks to make a decision. We don't put any thought into it. We've got no way around it.
We got to get our life together, guys. It's not right.
Yeah. Let's go to Madrid and Brick.
Wait. Okay.
Madrid, talk to us.
How you doing, Mike? How you doing, John? How you doing, Pete?
All
Yo,
good.
Yo, Madrid.
That's good. Good to hear, man. Listen, Mike, you had me cracking up, man. I called in because I heard you say you're about to roll the blunt and watch those games, kick your feet up. Good luck with all your picks. Go Niners. Don, I'm from Hawthorne originally. Just wanted to touch base on that. You guys got a great show. I've been listening for years, man. You guys are the best.
Thank you, man.
You're the best.
Wow. So
Hawthorne.
The rolling of blunt seems like it's really gotten some traction, even on Twitter. A lot of people said you should have a new T-shirt. Roll a blunt, watch the games, said Christopher Francis.
You know what? That could be like, it's like your Sia. That could be how you start all the K-Rod broadcasts. All right, everyone, welcome to Sunday Night Baseball, the K-Rod broadcast. I'm Michael Kay. That's Alex Rodriguez. You know what time it is. The pitcher's on the mound. The batter's in the batter's box. It's time to roll a blunt and watch the game with Michael Kay and Alex Rodriguez.
See, but I can't do that because I don't advocate drug use. So, no.
Yeah, but it's legal now. So
that's it. Not drug everywhere. Use is James Dunn.
Not everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. The places it's not legal, it doesn't matter.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's go to Christopher. He's in Freeport. Christopher.
Michael, Don, Peter, I love you guys.
Thank you, man. We love you.
I just want to say real quick, Michael, before 2014, when I started listening to you guys, I hated your guts.
Oh my goodness! Why? What did I do?
I hated you so much because I'm a Mets fan, and I was younger, and I was very ignorant. But now, listening to you every day, I just want to say I love you guys. You're awesome, Michael Kay. I really thought you were a Yankee homer, and I hated your guts. But now, listening to you, you've been critical of the Yankees when you had to be, and I just want to say I love you.
Thank you, Christopher. That's nice of you.
That is very nice.
And I just want to ask real quick. With all the teams left in the playoffs, do you agree that Aaron Rodgers has the most to lose in the playoffs?
I don't know if I agree with that, Chris, because he has, you know, he has the Super Bowl ring already. He's won one. I mean, obviously.
He's probably sitting on another MVP trophy at the end of the year.
Yeah, but you know what? There's something about only having one, Peter.
I know. Well, here's
the thing. You don't think it irks Breeze? I mean, you think about
it. It puts you, sadly, in Super Bowls. It puts you behind Big Ben and Eli. Like, there's guys who are not as good as you who
and they've been
sort of
good
behind.
Going into the playoffs and coming out of a bye. Listen, all the other guys are going to get kicks to the can, right? But he's only got the one. And I don't know after this year where he's going. But is he going to have as good a chance as he has coming off a bye?
But
a championship this year?
Let's look at this, though. I mean, let's do this intelligently. Joe Burrow doesn't have pressure. He's in the second year of his career. No pressure for him.
Right.
Ryan Tannehill, he's happy to be here.
Yeah.
San Francisco, I guess there's some pressure on Garoppolo, some. But I don't think
he stands to gain a lot.
Yes.
The question is, how much does he stand to lose?
I don't think that's a great way to look at it. I don't think he's going to lose that much. He is what he is. If he wins, then he's going to make a lot more money. Matthew Stafford has a lot. He's a veteran.
Yeah.
He has a lot of pressure to get this done. This team was built to win now. Tom has no pressure at all. Josh Allen, I guess he has a modicum of pressure, but I don't think a tremendous amount. Patrick Mahomes has been in the last two Super Bowls. He's won one. No, I don't think Rodgers has the most pressure. I think it's Stafford.
Yeah, Stafford probably does. But Stafford also, you know, they'll come back next year as presently constituted, right? I mean, Von Miller will be a year older. I get that. But, you know, there's some kind of – it's like a finality to Rodgers. This will probably his last game in Green Bay. You know, he is getting up there. You know,
and also they're getting back – it was surprising. They're getting back Randall Cobb. He's going to play.
Okay.
He had surgery to repair a core muscle 7 weeks ago, and he's back. So he will be there. You have Devontae Adams. So I just don't think there's a lot of pressure. I just don't. Also, he's so chill. Like, I don't think he feels that pressure.
It would be weird, though, for as good a quarterback as he has been, if he ends up with just one.
You know, Dan Marino has none, so.
True. And you don't think that bothers Dan?
Yes.
You don't think that's a constant call? You just threw it out there, you know, 20 years after the last game he played. It's still there.
But one is you're in the club.
The difference between zero and one is much more significant than one and two.
Boy, Peter is really coming back today after the
It's a bounce back. There's no doubt.
After the
best Wednesday he's ever had.
This is unbelievable. Strong takes. Really, really exhilarating,
actually. Crisp.
Crisp, brisk, the whole deal. Feels like an iced tea in the summer.
Yeah, that's right. Like you fall backwards into the pool.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a brief timeout, towel off. We've got a big ENN. He could even improve his standing with that. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.